Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
With TikTok ads, we went from 250,000 downloads to over 1 million downloads in less than a year.
I'm Eve.
I'm Anam, and we're the co-founders of Alinea.
Alinea Invest is an investing app for Gen Z.
We run 50 new ads per week with 3 variations thanks to TikTok Smart Plus campaigns.
If you're not advertising on TikTok, you're missing out.
Drive more app downloads only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Have you ever had a moment where you think, man, someone should really do something about this? Then you realize maybe that someone is you. Well, with the help of GoFundMe, you can change someone's life. You could start a GoFundMe to help a friend pay for school, fund that new community space, or help a local kid finally get to that national competition. I've seen this myself. Last year, a friend of mine launched a GoFundMe to help with medical bills after an unexpected surgery. It was incredible how fast the support rolled in. People want to help. They just need a way to do it. And GoFundMe makes it easy. So, do you have a dream, a person, or a cause in your life that could use some support? Don't wait for someone else to bring change. You can be the one who makes a difference. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com.
Let's freaking go! I will put to rest the Bryce Underwood smoke with Michigan. And also, one stat and one major trend for Garrett Nussmeier that should excite you that also has to deal with Bryce Underwood. That's all coming up, baby. Let's go!
It's Power Hour LSU.
PHL, extra little bit of swag, an extra little bit of taste.
Yeah. Man, I'm headed to the fair. Terror of the tiger, I'ma always keep it real. Let me ting, I'm getting the power. It's the power, 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 power. LSU with Carter, it's the power, 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 power. LSU with Carter, man, I'm headed to the fair. Terror of the tiger, I'ma always keep it real. Let me ting, I'm getting the power. It's the power, 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 power. LSU with Carter, it's the power, power, power.
What?
LSU
what?
With Carter.
Today, Thursday night, 8:15, 6 p.m. and 5 Central, respectively, pregame, halftime, postgame shows. Welcome back in. And the big story today, and this normally happens during a bye week, some kind of recruiting buzz regarding LSU's commitments pop up. And this just happens to be the highest ranked commitment in LSU history, Bryce Underwood, the consensus number one overall player, the consensus number one overall quarterback. Michigan is obviously where he's from, Bellevue, and then obviously Michigan lost out on Bryce Underwood when he committed to LSU on January 6th. So obviously there was going to be a push for Bryce Underwood. And I think one thing that's helping Michigan fans and this push for Bryce Underwood, even if they don't think they're going to land them, it is good PR because Michigan right now is in a quarterback quandary. They have had the worst quarterback play so far in the Big 12. I say the Big 12 and the Big 10. And their quarterback, one of them, actually retired this week. And they have had to win games completing like 5-6 passes. So Sharon Moore in his first year looking for some positive energy. Some of that is mixed in here, some positive PR. But there are rumors out there. And it started a few weeks ago with Dave Portnoy saying, hey, I'm willing to do whatever it takes to get the best quarterback in this next recruiting class, but I don't want to work alongside a collective. So one thing I'll say about Michigan's push, if there is really a impressive NIL package here, is let's just say it is Dave Portnoy from Barstool that's putting something together, it will feel somewhat disorganized, right? I feel like when you do one of these big things, alignment really does matter. And if you're really going to give one player a guaranteed $4 million deal or whatever it is, that is tough to do in this era because there's going to be some experienced players saying, hey, why are we giving all this money to someone that's not even stepped foot on campus just yet. Now, I can tell you that money is in definitely the role of getting Underwood to LSU. I don't think anyone would be surprised by that. LSU is currently committed to paying Bryce Underwood to get here, quote unquote. Hey, I don't think I'm breaking any news with that. But obviously, I interviewed Bryce Underwood. I didn't talk to him any about NIL. I also interviewed his dad. You can go listen to the interview. All you got to do is click on my videos tab or just go to the homepage, Power Hour LSU on YouTube, and you can see for yourself, okay? You could see for yourself how much he wants to be here and how much the Underwoods want to be in Baton Rouge. I think if obviously it is an insurmountable amount of money, sure, go to Michigan. Go for it. But if you really want to be developed as a quarterback, why wouldn't you go to LSU that has currently, per EPA, the two best quarterbacks in the entire league in Jaden Daniels and Joe Burrow? Oh, yeah, both of those guys won Heismans. Yeah, both of those guys have millions upon millions in endorsements. And both of those guys are unlike, an Anthony Richardson who's just going to quit on his team midway through a drive. You're going to be tough as nails after the Brian Kelly, after your Brian Kelly tenure here at LSU. So my opinion still remains the same on Bryce Underwood. I do believe, and look, a lot of people will say, well, Carter, it's because you interviewed him. That's why you're saying this. And I did, and I enjoyed. We had a very good conversation, even off camera. I really, really enjoyed my conversation with Bryce and his father at the spring game. But I want to be clear. I still feel pretty good about LSU getting him here. And one way that makes me feel even better about it is he will be at the LSU-Alabama game. Now, you don't have to worry about Alabama because they already have their 2025 quarterback commit, Duncanville's own Keelan Russell, who was obviously Caden Durham's quarterback when he was at Duncanville. So we don't have to worry about Alabama picking him up. Do you really think Bryce Underwood, when he experiences Saturday night in Death Valley as an official visitor, which, by the way, he already experienced Saturday night in Death Valley last year, he's going to get to experience an Alabama game Saturday night in Death Valley. Guess what? Do you really think he's going to want to go to the Big House in Michigan and deal with cold temperatures and deal with a first-time head coach? Why would he want to do that? Well, the only reason would be for money and proximity. And if I have been told multiple family members like Baton Rouge a lot, then why would they not make this move? Okay? It would feel different if Michigan still had Jim Harbaugh. It'd feel a lot different. So I'm not worried. I'm really not worried. Which lends ourselves into this next topic. I do think there is somewhat of an added benefit of Garrett Nussmeier struggling versus Texas A&M. And I know that sounds crazy. But after watching Garrett, and next week on Power Hour NFL, I'm releasing my full Garrett Nussmeier pro film study for how I feel about him as a professional quarterback. Okay, it'll feature all 22. It'll feature a lot of different things that I've been able to compile over the last couple of weeks. And I do not believe he is ready to play in the NFL. I just do not believe it. So what do I mean by that? Well, if he were to actually go to the NFL draft and actually be selected in the first round, they are going to want to play him immediately, right? There's only been one quarterback in the first round that's not played yet, and that is Michael Penix. And that is for really good reason, because Kirk Cousins has been one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. So it is important to note, if for some reason LSU were to lose out on Bryce Underwood, Garrett Nussmeier going to the NFL next year is not on my bingo card. It's not something that I believe will happen. One more thing about the Garrett Nussmeier NFL discussion that I think is very important is it's not necessarily true that the next NFL draft class of quarterbacks is a slam dunk. There are so many of those players that have not played up to snuff, as in the quarterback class that are currently true sophomores, right? Do we really think Arch Manning is going to be 1 year at Texas and gone? Maybe he would be, maybe he's not. We'll see how good he is. There will be a lot of hype for him to actually make that jump. Do you think Nico is going to be ready to make that jump next year? And do you think going into next year that Garrett Nussmeier wouldn't be the consensus number one NFL draft quarterback for not this draft class, but the next? He probably would be. And I've seen Matt Miller, who is a NFL draft analyst for ESPN, say that there are a lot of scouts that say, hey, we don't want you to develop in year one in the NFL. We want you to produce. Because guys like Joe Burrow, guys like Jaden Daniels, guys like CJ Stroud have moved the sliding scale to make it look like it is easy to produce quickly in the NFL as a rookie quarterback. And it's not. But that's just how it is, right? And unless you are that level of a talent, and with Burrow and Daniels, they were both year five guys. Garrett Nussmeier would be a year five guy as well. Bo Nix has been pretty good this year. He'd be a year five guy. Unless you are truly CJ Stroud level as a talent, which I don't think anyone here would say Garrett is on that level, you should probably come back. So obviously it depends on how this last month goes. There are quite a few people with powerful opinions that do view Garrett Nussmeier as the best quarterback in this class. I just don't see a world where a guy like Shedeur Sanders gets selected after Garrett Nussmeier. I could see it happen. I would take Garrett over Shedeur at the next level. But, you know, I think at this point, if I were to guess from an LSU vantage point, number one, you do want him back. You want year five quarterbacks coming back as year two starters. That has been the most profitable scenario for LSU as a quarterback. And that's been the most profitable thing in all of college football. These year five, year six guys coming back with multiple years of starting experience, right? Dylan Gabriel, obviously, Jaden Daniels, the list goes on and on. So I want Garrett back for a year five. And look, there's going to be a lot of pressure, whether Garrett stays or goes, to have Bryce Underwood involved in the offense. I am also not out on the Ricky Collins train. In fact, I bought my first Ricky Collins rookie autograph card this week. So I'm putting my money on Ricky's development. Might not be at LSU. I think, you know, his future is definitely up in the air after this year. But I still like him as a player. I do. So if there is a positive, I do feel we could have a world where Garrett has, let's just say, another rough game, but LSU finds a way to win, and they find a way to backdoor into the playoffs with four final wins here, where Garrett is playing his way potentially into the first round. That's obviously a really good thing. That would be three of the last four starting quarterbacks, real starting quarterbacks, making it to the NFL. It'd be really cool. But I'm really excited to see where Ness is going to do this offseason, because I also follow LSU players in the pros really closely. And I always cheer for them, even if they're not on our team. But obviously, I'd much prefer them be on our team and max out their years at the school. Okay? So, as always, we get to all your Venmo, Cash App, Super Chats. I start off every show with my little razzle-dazzle rant. As we say hi to Tony, we say hi to Larry. LA Bond says, I'm not going to be nervous until Shea Dixon says it's time to be nervous. Yeah, I wouldn't be nervous yet either. And look, if you were from Michigan and the Wolverines say, hey, we're giving you $5 million, what are you going to do? You know, I'm not going to be mad at him either way. Do what you feel is best for you. Would I be sad? Yeah, I'd be very sad. Right? But this is what you have to deal with when you go after the biggest of biggest guns. You have this, right? Was that a Grant? What's up, Grant? Good to see you. Now we get to my next topic. Y'all. The Discord today, all our patrons that are in the chat right now will tell you, Julie, most notably, there's a lot of people now that don't even watch my channel anymore, but they love the Patreon. They love the Patreon. I had someone reach out to me and say, hey, I can't stay up late for the live streams anymore, but I love the Patreon bonus content, the podcast, and all of it. And I love the Discord chat. And the Discord chat got spicy today talking about Brian Kelly. So go sign up today and tonight. I'll tell you this. Obviously, every new Discord, you get a Joe Burrow card in the mail. All you got to do is message me when you get in the Patreon and I'll send it to you. Tonight, I'm covering your first month. All right? I'll just sign up, pay the $9.99. I'll Venmo you $10 and you get a Joe Burrow card in the mail. And guess what? If you don't like it, you can cancel it. That's how much I believe in the product. Ask anybody. I put a lot of effort into extra film studies, podcasts, and all that stuff there. And you get the Discord that goes along with it, right? Which is a lit chat room of open, honest discussion. Okay.
Have you ever had a moment where you think, man, someone should really do something about this? Then you realize maybe that someone is you. Well, with the help of GoFundMe, you can change someone's life. You could start a GoFundMe to help a friend pay for school, fund that new community space, or help a local kid finally get to that national competition. I've seen this myself. Last year, a friend of mine launched a GoFundMe to help with medical bills after an unexpected surgery. It was incredible how fast the support rolled in. People want to help. They just need a way to do it. And GoFundMe makes it easy. So, do you have a dream, a person, or a cause in your life that could use some support? Don't wait for someone else to bring change. You can be the one who makes a difference. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com.
Hey, nobody ripping your head off for anything other than your LSU football take. Okay? So, there are quite a few of my super diehard viewers that do not believe in Brian Kelly as much as they used to. And I made an innocuous tweet this week, and Rick, we're going to get to your question right after that. Rick, of course, another one of our patrons. I want to clarify a tweet that I made earlier today. And actually, it might have been yesterday. My days are all mixed up. So Lane Kiffin was being Lane Kiffin, a drama queen, and he decided to bitch and moan about LSU having another night game and Ole Miss not having a night game for this weekend versus Arkansas. They've not had a night home game yet. So Kentucky was an early game. Obviously, Oklahoma, this last home game. And then, of course, they have to play Arkansas in Vaught-Hemingway, which won't be a night game. All right. And I get it. And I have all the time shared that LSU has night home game privileges. There was a writer or just a Twitter account from the University of Georgia that actually went and crunched the numbers of night games versus 11 a.m. games played. And LSU has had a far superior amount of night games. And they have had by far the fewest amount of 11 a.m. kickoffs of the power programs. And it wasn't really that close. So I understand the privilege I have. But as an LSU fan talking about this, and I get Lane's frustration. But the thing that we all must remember about college football is that none of this shit is noble. None of this is about fair. Because if college football was about fairness, we wouldn't have the dumbest schedule structure in all of sports. College football has never been fair. It might be the most unfair sport that we have in all the sports we care about here in America. It is so unfair. All right. And this is an entertainment business which subsidizes all these other sports. So college football will always get dried up to the very last penny when it comes to revenue. And what does college football know generates views? It is not Ole Miss. Okay? It is not Ole Miss. Now, I understand what I'm about to say is very weird. And analytics for my YouTube channel is different than real life because, you know, my Arkansas stuff kills on YouTube. But that's because there's really not anything else going on in Arkansas athletics. So I think that has a big role in it. Mississippi, you got other things happening in that state. But the truth is, when I do Ole Miss content on my SEC channel, it flops. And I do basically the same type of videos with Ole Miss like I do the other schools. All right? Ole Miss has some history, Eli Manning. Obviously, LSU has a lot of history with Ole Miss. But Ole Miss is not a big brand, Lane Kiffin. And all I tweeted yesterday was Lane Kiffin desperately wanted the LSU job. He desperately wants a job where he can actually win a national championship. And him complaining about LSU in the night game thing is more proof for me. He wants a better job. You know who else gets a lot of night games? Florida. That job might be open. And you got DJ Lagway, who looks right now. I mean, I watched him today versus Kentucky. Kentucky's got the most disappointing defense right now in the SEC because they do have talent. But he lit them up. I mean, he looked really good. But Lane, we're LSU. Those three letters have value. Now, are we the upper echelon rating getter in college football? No. I've said it a gazillion times. To me, those schools are five schools. There are five schools that really move a needle when it comes to a big-time number. That's Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, Notre Dame. Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, Notre Dame. And there is another. Texas. That was the other. Those five schools draw a number more than all the other schools. Maybe USC in their Reggie Bush prime. But those five schools draw a number. And LSU's probably in that next tier. That's why they get night games. It's that simple. Some of it is, of course, temperature related or whatever. It's because LSU Alabama draws a huge number. It's been the premier game, non-rivalry week game, for over a decade. Now, has it been one-sided? Yes, it has been very one-sided. But has it been the matchup? Yes. So it's going to be at night. Okay? And I also want to say, share this. The national media will tell you, hey, when opposing fans visit Tiger Stadium, they want it to be at night. That's what they want. I'll tell you this. I feel like I'm relatively credible when it comes to this. I've gotten to really know Tennessee fans. I do Tennessee content a lot now. I cover the team pretty closely now. I love their fans. One thing that multiple Tennessee fans told me is one of their biggest disappointments about their visit to Death Valley was that the game was at 11 a.m. Now, obviously, that helped them kick our ass because we don't play as good, you know, in the daytime as we do at nighttime in Death Valley. But they didn't get to experience that, right? Like, the next time LSU goes to Knoxville, which we don't know when that's going to be. It's not going to be next year either. I will go to that game. And if I go to that game, I want that game to be at night because Tennessee's night game atmosphere with their lights. Also, something else about Tennessee at night is that their colors are orange, and the night sky just looks really good. It pops. You saw those orange and black Tennessee uniforms. Whew! The orange and black Tennessee uniforms and the LSU all whites are just the freshest color combos. I will say A&M's all black uniforms look pretty good.
Okay. So, look. Lane Kiffin wanted this job. And Ole Miss being looked at as an afterthought is going to take him out of that city pretty soon. So, there you go. But I say that because underneath the tweet, it became a huge discussion about, well, we should have offered Lane the job. He would have been better here than Brian Kelly would have been. And I just do not believe that. I really don't. I wanted Lane Kiffin. He was my number two guy on the coaching board. Number one for me was Lincoln Riley. I'm glad that didn't go in that direction. I think Lane ultimately would have been better than Lincoln Riley. I do not know if Lane Kiffin would have been better than Brian Kelly. We don't know if Lane Kiffin would have gone out and gotten Jaden Daniels. We don't know any of that. Okay? I'm not saying Lane would not have won big here. He would have won big here. If I can't have him number two on my coaching board and then say, well, no, I think he would have sucked just because he's at, you know, our rival school and he called us out this week. But he's a damn good coach. But I'm still happy Brian Kelly's our coach. Now, I do want to point out one thing that's interesting. Do I think Brian Kelly has been really good at LSU? I mean, he's done great things. I don't think anyone would disagree with that. He had a huge mess to clean up with the Orgeron, but I don't know how many more times you're going to say that. It is disappointing watching that game in year three, not being able to stop his own read with somewhat of a playoff berth and a 10-point lead on the line, basically. And, you know, Brian Kelly mentioned this earlier. We, in a presser situation, look, we played zone read versus South Carolina. So should they have been better prepared for Marcel Reed? Sure. Like I said, the Greg Penn quote would age a little bit better when Brian Kelly spoke to the media again. I think it somewhat did. But, you know, I still strongly do believe that that's a game that Brian Kelly should win. Now, I hate to say this as well. I would be a little bit more forgiving with what happened in the third quarter of that game had LSU found a way to win versus USC. LSU's been better in close games than not been in close games, if that makes sense. We've had quite a few close victories go our way. Some people call it luck. There is a mixture of skill mixed into that as well. But, you know, I still think Brian Kelly's the right man for this job. We still have one of the best recruiting classes in LSU history coming in next year. Now, uh-oh. The Master Blaster is here. Let's go. Let's go. Let's see. Let's go to TLV. The other thing I don't forgive is complaining about players not having the killer instinct after game one and then farting around for 2 minutes before going in for halftime. Yeah, let's have a discussion about the end of half situation, right? You know, LSU has been somewhat conservative at the end of second quarters. You know, during the Jaden era, we were actually really good at the end of second quarters. Alabama game, Florida State game. There's a few that come to mind, right? Would I have preferred us being a little bit more aggressive in that spot, TOV? Sure, and TOV has been a part of our Patreon Discord chat as well. I would have loved that. I would have loved that. But let's also be honest. Kyren Lacy had a huge drop. And I hate to bring that up because I just bought my first big Kyren Lacy card. I had no Kyrens. And I had to get me a one-of-one Kyren Lacy today. Someone offered a price I couldn't pass up. I think this will be a pretty big money card pretty soon when the draft comes around. But he didn't position his hands well, and he should have brought that in. That hurt us at the end of that second quarter. It just did. Okay. But he still went over 100 yards. So that happened. And then, you know, as Elemon brings up, we also had Garrett banged up. He was banged up. Now let's go to Tony. He says, who is going to the LSU-Alabama game? Tony, thank you for the super chat. I really do appreciate you. And who is going to the LSU-Alabama game? I am not going this year unless I get – so this happened a few years ago. I got offered the wildest tickets for LSU-Alabama. Like, it's just the wildest tickets. And – Steve Bean and a few others hooked me up. Roy, I mean, it was just insane, man. Freaking love those guys. And they have the best tailgate I've ever been to as well. If you have a chance to go to an LSU-Alabama, you should go. I've been to plenty. All right. My fair share of LSU-Alabamas in Tiger Stadium. Nothing comes close. Honestly, nothing comes close as an LSU fan. Outside of course, winning a natty. And you should go. There is one thing that is not lost on me, though, about this LSU-Alabama game. And so much focus is on Jalen Milroe and the QB run game. I will say that shouldn't worry you too much. I'll tell you why after this message from Zion Imaging. Book your 360 spin booth experience today with Zion Imaging. Yes, that's my buddy.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Jaron Thomas, who started this venture years ago, and look at the smiles on these faces. This state-of-the-art photo booth is so incredible. I work in the wedding and event industry, and anytime I see a 360 photo booth, it takes your event, whether it's a reunion, a wedding, a conference, no matter what it is, it takes it to another level. Give them a follow on Facebook. Book them today. There is a special deal going on now where you can get up to 40% off. This is all the info. Give them a call today, 318-469-4265, or go to Zion Imaging. That's xyanimaging.com. Home is where the heart is, and our friends at NOPOD Roofing really takes that to heart. 504-810-8744. Give them a call today for all of your roofing needs. And one of my favorite things about NOPOD Roofing is their versatility. They not only do roofing, they do siding, they do painting, they do tree removal, fencing, anything home improvement. Our friends at NOPOD will get you straight. Give them a call today at 504-810-8744 and let them know PHL and Carter the Power sent you. We never overpromise and always overdeliver with NOPOD, baby. Let's go. Dental health is wealth, and our friends at Sequoia Dental are looking to help you feel like a more confident person. Dr. William Wilson and his team of experts do everything in their power to make this experience for you not only comfortable, but fun. Yes, take a look at this after and before photo. That guy definitely got himself a date thanks to Sequoia Dental. From teeth whitening to cosmetic surgery to guess what? Botox. Yes, they do Botox. Call my friend Dr. William Wilson today or just go book your appointment at SequoiaDental.com. All righty. So Jared says it would take an hour for that 360 camera to travel around my fat rear end. That is funny. I'll give you that. Now, I wouldn't worry too much about Jalen Milroe for this reason. We know what he is. We faced him, and he has been struggling mightily. Now, do I think he's a little more hurt than people would like to think? Sure. But none of these struggles really shock me. Obviously, he started the year off guns a-blazing, but things have fallen off since, you know, that Georgia breakout game. And it's just, as a passer, he just doesn't give you the same ceiling as other dual threat quarterbacks have in the past that have his level of athleticism. So, look, I am not anti-Milroe at all. He's a good player. He tore us up last year. We will be in a better spot to play him. And whatever the case may be as far as this Alabama game, the best thing about it is LSU will be in a position and Alabama will be in a position where they must win the game to stay in the playoff hunt. You've got to stay in the playoff hunt. And in order to do that, you must win this game. You must. Both of these teams have weird losses. The LSU Tigers losses are losses that really don't shock anyone. Alabama's losses are shocking. Not the Tennessee one, but the Vanderbilt one. Both of Alabama losses have come on the road in true road environments. Right now, if I had to pick one, I would lean LSU in this spot because of the night game home field magic. But it's going to be close. And the best thing about it is the fact that this is a de facto playoff game. And before the 2022 game, I remember doing a podcast sitting right here. I said, enjoy it, because it might not ever be a de facto playoff game ever again. And guess what? We get another year of where both of these historically great programs have two losses, thus meaning if you lose, you're out. Jared says Milroe is faking a run for 185 yards against us. I love it. Now, I forgot to put this on. I was going to put it on today. I am now James Carville. I am a political LSU graduate analyst. I voted today. Voted today. Let's go to Taylor. He said the great Richard Dixon. Shout out to you, number 18. Said LSU would get shorter athletic linemen, but now have tall linemen, and maybe they struggle to get leverage on run blocks. Anything to this, you think? Yeah. There's a lot to this. A lot to it. The first thing is if you ever actually go back and you look at some of the LSU fans, or the LSU linemen of old. And before I answer that, Jared don't want me to, George, because I've never shared any political things on this show. I did something my wife and I did. I had to cancel my Tennessee show because this was the only day we both could go after work and vote. We do it all the time together, just a husband wife thing. But here's what we'll do. If you guys want to know who I voted for, if we get to $250 in Super Chats tonight. You see, there is a Super Chat challenge at the beginning of this. We're at 2 of 10. Okay? The goal ends in 21 minutes. All right? If we get to 10 supers in the next 21 minutes, I will give out this Trayvon Dural card. I don't understand how anyone can even know who I voted for. But, you know, as far as this is concerned, would get shorter athletic linemen. Yeah, you know, you go back and you look at some of the LSU linemen. Let's say someone like a PJ Lonergan, right? That dude was a mass. I do think that they blocked with better technique. Very clearly, they did. And part of it is other teams knew that we were running. And guess what? We could still run. And that's what's strange now, is you would think that the LSU rushing attack would be better now that you have a passing attack. I will say, and I do think this is very important, I will say that we are a vertical passing team. Or at least we think we are. One underrated aspect of LSU's inability to actually run the football is that we've not necessarily put a lot of vertical shots on film. We really haven't. Now, has Garrett Nussmeier been good? Yeah, but it's been mostly in-breakers, comebacks, those types of things. It's really not been vertical deep ball. Now, of course, versus South Carolina, we hit a few to Aaron Anderson. Of course, we had the deep one to Kyle Parker that was as perfectly thrown as you'll ever see. And we've had other vertical shots. Obviously, we had Kyron for the game winner, but that was more of a back shoulder. We have really struggled hitting just the deepest of deep balls. You know, one underrated play in the Arkansas game was a C.J. Daniels pass interference call. Okay. So, you know, I do think that it's hurt us some. And Jared, thank you for the super chat. So Chance wants to not reveal who I voted for today. Once again, if we get to 250 in super chats, I will go full political and tell you who to vote for and who I think you should vote for. But either way, that's not the point of this channel. I do think it's important to share what types of runs you want to see, which is why on Twitter yesterday, I did share a run play that I would like to see LSU run. And while Richard Dixon is correct, we do lack leverage. Something else that he probably mentioned is LSU has a problem with leaning and rocking. Now, for those that got that joke, y'all are my kind of people. Lean with it, rock with it, lean. Them franchise boys. Cousin Dave, what's good? What do I think of the interior offensive line play? It's not been great. And that goes along with Taylor's super chat. It's tough. It's tough to really evaluate the interior of the LSU offensive line because they lean a lot. They lean and whiff. All right. So it's a problem. It's a problem. You can't do that. And I've shared, you know, that I think they should change, make a change at center. But I'm not sure if they can do that, especially if Garrett Dellinger, his status is up in the air. You know, Brian Kelly revealed that it was an ankle sprain with Garrett Dellinger. So if he's not ready to go, then LSU's in a lot of trouble. They are. So I feel as if I really do feel LSU's run blocking technique has regressed, but I also think we underrated Jaden's effect on the LSU rushing attack. Because if you have a transcendent dual threat quarterback, all studies have shown that it makes your overall rushing attack that much better. Okay? Sam got it. Lean with the rock. Lean with the rock. Let's go to Pegasus. How much does pass setting 45 times and sitting in your stance all game affect that? It does a lot. And that's where I'll defend Chester and those guys, because they are in a stance a very long time. They are. Let's also be fair. We couldn't really run the football at the end of last season either. Like Jaden could, but our actual hand the football to a running back wasn't all that great. Now, I will say, we were also playing games to win Jaden the Heisman, so anytime you handed the football off to a running back, that's one less play that Jaden could have made, right? So it was stupid to hand the football off to any running back there with the way Jaden was playing. But you know, still, our actual running back, we did not have a 50-yard rusher, I think, all of last year, except for Logan Diggs. Okay? Now, as promised, I do want to share this, and if you watched the film study yesterday or on Sunday night, you've already seen this bit of analysis, but this is one rushing play I would like to see LSU bring into the fold versus Alabama. This is a huge problem for me in the Joe Sloan run scheme, and a guy that he can actually steal some ideas from is Lane Kiffin. He is the absolute best at calling runs where the blocks themselves from the offensive line don't need to be completed, right? What you use that for is a decoy, right? So you see we're running counter GY to the right side, right? So guess what the defense does? They read that it's counter GY to the right side, and they immediately just sprint to the right side. So what you can do here is fake this and actually quick pitch it to the left. Or if the end decides to just stay backside, what you can do is show this look and then actually just run the option, right? If the end commits to Garrett Nussmeier, you pitch it. I mean, there's so many different creative things that I would like to see Sloan add to the run game. There's just nothing that's going to work. Look at how they just crammed this bitch in. And there's really nothing there, okay? And guess who makes the tackle? It's Gordon, all right? This is not a regular run fit, right? It's just that they know what we're doing. This is the perfect example of predictability. And honestly, we blocked this pretty well, right? We get a seal here. We get a good bounce from the running back. But because Gordon is able to just work his way all the way through, he's able to make this tackle. That's actually a good job by Mbenga. and he makes the play. Okay? It's bad. So specificity matters. I don't want to just be a hot take. Joe Sloan needs to improve without providing actual examples, okay? So we're not, in this spot, Tennessee, running counter GY. You're running counter GT, right? Or at least the defense thinks you're running counter GT to the left. So watch what happens. They pull both the guard and the tackle to the right side, which makes this defense think that they are running to the right side. All right. Now, you wouldn't think that Tennessee is running to the right side because the running back is actually to the right. So if there is a handoff, more than likely the running back is going to a left, right? But because defense's key pullers, whether it's defensive linemen or backers, watch what this does. Even though it is a clear running back situation where they're running to the left, the pullers going to the right side draws these guys to the right side. Okay, now, I mentioned this quite a bit about how I don't like the LSU run game because we don't have these types of plays. I say this quite often. We don't have many plays where the run is not successful because of the blocks ahead of it, right? There's not a single offensive lineman here that has to complete a single block for this play to be successful because we are trusting these offensive linemen to be a decoy, right? They could whiff, honestly, every single one of these blocks, and this play still be successful, right? Because it's just a little stretch to the backside. Now, Scorton actually just ran to the right side. This time, the end does hold serve, but this is what I'm talking about, right? We put so much stress on our offensive linemen, and we run a lot of quote-unquote misdirection plays, but we don't run enough misdirection where it doesn't require your offensive line to complete absolutely positively perfect blocks. And as we get ready for Alabama, these are the kinds of plays we should run versus them. But we need to hold on to the football. Type Y for yes. Type in for no if you enjoyed it. And as you're going to do. Next 10 to 15, we'll answer as many super chats as we possibly can. But if you do super chat, we'll go longer. Because I do have to get up at the ass crack tomorrow. Besides you, Michael, good to see you. What's up, big dog, big dicks? Don't forget, tomorrow night we'll be live at 6 p.m. Central. Oh, Ramos is definitely kicking the game winner versus Bama. Final score will be 52-49. A Bullfrog, his sources say Bryce Underwood is being gone is a done deal per his sources. Bullfrog plugged in. Do I think Colin Hurley should get a start this year? I don't see a path forward for him getting playing time. Garrett's a tough son of a gun. Colin Hurley is the backup. So, yeah, we haven't seen AJ Swan. And, you know, this is why I've clamored for preseason games in college football. It never makes sense that every other sport in existence has preseason games except for college football. Every other sport does exhibitions, every college sport. I mean, we're seeing it men's and women's. LSU basketball is playing Loyola. Right now, and the score is 58-3. Or at least that was the score basically before I got on here. Every other sport. And the funny thing about it is football has the largest roster sizes. No preseason. You don't have to play your best people. You don't even have to show your playbook. You can play walk-ons, hell. Guess what? Arkansas played Kansas, pretty high-profile exhibition game. The best players didn't play. It was still a good product. Doesn't make any sense. These kids want to play. They don't want to play spring game scrimmages in a practice setting versus your own guys. They want to hit. They want to be hit. Okay. Thank you so much, Sacco. Appreciate it, man. And we're actually halfway to our goal here. It says 3 of 10. It actually should say 4 of 10 because Jared supered. But it went as a super sticker. Joe Sloan gets a C grade from you guys? Carter, if you're a BK and Emory Jones told you he could come back if you'll play left tackle, would you do that? Hell yeah. Hell yeah, I would. But, you know, it's kind of a tough discussion with Emory Jones because he's not having his best season. He is still, to me, the most talented offensive lineman coming out of high school that I saw since Lyle Collins. Like, I really do think he's that gifted. And he is still the highest graded offensive player I've had that I've evaluated since I've been doing this for the last four-ish years, grading all the high school recruits. So I graded him thinking he was going to be a guard. I'd heard he was going to be a guard. That's where he was practicing. And then he was forced into action game three at right tackle, and he's not really looked back since. I do think his best position is guard. I do think the future of his career will be at guard. And this just hadn't been his best year. I think there's a lot of different reasons why that's the case. But hell yeah. I mean, if he were to say, hey, BK, I'm coming back, put me at left tackle, you're telling me I can get a four-year starter? Heck yeah. Heck yeah. But yeah. Sibley gave Sloan an A. Ooh. Tony says B. Jared says C. You could tell Jared's been a little bit more terse in some of his responses tonight because he went to the game in Arkansas, didn't get to see me. Jared's like one of my best friends now. And then he drove all the way to A&M just to watch that monstrosity. Now, if LSU had won, it'd be a different story. So my grade for Joe Sloan, it would be a C-plus at this point. I think C-plus is the right grade. I could hear out a B-minus. I can't get to an A. I don't think anybody would give him an A. I'm not sure if there's an offensive coordinator in the SEC that deserves an A. So I think C to C-plus would be fair. I could also hear out a D-plus. I do think that would be a little harsh for a first-year play caller. But I think C is pretty fair. And C is also not terrible, right? It's not great. It's also not terrible. Now, as far as recruiting sources and Bullfrog and his sources, I will say, recruiting sources are a little bit more open, right? There's more good information out there with recruiting flips and whatnot, right? Because in high school, every player circle is still really big, and players are more willing to speak for the attention and all of that. So, yeah, I mean, Bullfrog might have sources. You might. But I always say this, coaching search, coordinator search, I distance myself from the Blake Baker quote-unquote report. Turned out to be right. But I just don't think people realize with like coaching and coordinator job searches, that stuff is so damn fluid. It is so fluid. Because it is just one spot. Right? It's just one spot. One person could fill it. Yeah, you can have co-coordinators, but one person's going to call the shots. Here's Daryl. Daryl's coming in hot. I'm sure Bullfrog knows the scoop. Good God. Well, look, here's my history with Bullfrog. I think there's two different Bullfrogs. There used to be a Bullfrog that would destroy me for my Jaden Daniels opinions. And I felt like I was fair with everything I ever said about Jaden Daniels. Okay. But he would destroy me just for defending him at all. So there was that Bullfrog who was calling Brian Kelly racist and all kinds of stuff. I do think this Bullfrog is a parody of the old Bullfrog. But I don't know. I'll never know. I don't. Honestly, though, that other Bullfrog, Jared remembers this. A lot of my old schoolers remember this. Okay, so it is the troll account for my old troll. So you're trolling an old troll who I still think watches me. There's been a few instances where I'm like, okay, this guy still watches me. And I've seen a few comments that make me think that it's him. But I do think his goal one day is to find a way to cancel me.
Look.
He got mad at me for saying Ricky Collins was going to go to LSU. All right. And some of Ricky's people have watched this channel before. I've never spoken to Ricky. But that information that he was committed to Purdue. But I felt pretty good that he was going to go to LSU. Okay. And he was like, there's no way Ricky Collins is dumb enough to pick LSU and sit behind Garrett Nussmeyer and Walker Howard and all that. And I was like, well, first of all, he's not being dumb. You know, every kid has to go somewhere and compete for a major Division I role in any offense, much less quarterback. And he was basically just wrong about a lot of stuff. Plot twist was Bullfrog was Nuss Bus Driver.
Yeah, look.
I like Nuss Bus Driver too. He don't come around as much as he used to. Deontay Johnson to the Ravens. I can't wait to see that. I still can't believe Rodri won Ballon d'Or. Edward O. I wonder what happened to Edward O. Yeah, you know, one thing I'll say about Bryce Underwood is in one of his earliest interviews he did, and this was right when he became like the five-star can't-miss guy, he said freshman playing time was something that he coveted. Take that for what it's worth. Okay. Now, before we skedaddle, I know I'm wearing my voting sticker, and a lot of people say, well, you got to go vote. Got to go vote. No, you don't. You know, you don't have to do anything. Right? I like doing it because I like going on adventures with the wifey, something we've always done together. But something else that's like kind of crazy is I really love sports, that it does bring like people of all different backgrounds, religions, all that stuff. Like, it is crazy what that does to people and brings everyone together. I freaking love it. I do. Wait, did Terrace Marshall go to the Ravens? Where is Terrace Marshall right now? I feel like I should know that. Is he a free agent? Oh, he's with the Raiders. I don't do a lot of Raiders stuff on Power Hour NFL. He has not registered a stat with the Raiders. That's why. It's probably not a good thing, considering there's really no wide receivers on this team. They have Jacoby Myers and Trey Tucker. Ramel Keaton from Tennessee is on there. That's crazy. They do have Brock Bowers, who's a monster. In 7 days, those super supper chats will start moving higher. What's in 7 days? Will it finally be Bama week? Oh, the election's in 7 days. So the actual voting day. Okay. Doesn't make any sense that it's not like a national holiday. Yeah, he did have a few drops, but he is, for those that I actually talked about this on my NFL show earlier today. He is starting to like look good. Okay. So I know Bullfrog is trolling me. He's trolled me before because of I don't remember because I said I like One Direction. But Bullfrog judging a book by its cover, saying Carter voted blue. I won't say who I voted for. But well, I said if we got to $250 in super chats, I would tell you. And I would give you my full reasoning. I like to go in with reasons. But you know, I have actually many of close friends that worked with Herman Cain, who unfortunately is deceased now. A lot of my LSU friends worked for him. So you know, one of my good friends I voted for today was a Republican state representative, and that's the only person I'll say, but I grew up with him. So, you know, that's basically all the info you'll get from me. But it doesn't, I've never understood the, this guy voted this way or that way. You really don't know. You want to do an election breakdown and film study? So I got to do a breakdown of the Donald dance. What is it? I get it. I will say I've had a lot of family graduate from Howard. That's where Kamala went. But this is going to be my only political statement about the election. All right. I do think the election day needs to be a holiday. I hate like how difficult it is to like vote on voting day. That's why you should go early vote. But yes, like some people can't early vote. But a lot of people got to drive home. So why do you want to know who I vote for so bad? If you want to know, Bullfrog, I said, where are we at on supers? We're at $36.98 on supers tonight. If you drop a $210 super chat, and 210 is my favorite number, I'm not making that up. If you do that, I will tell you. I've never lied to you guys before. Now, as Mike pointed out, an election breakdown is 1 million more times difficult. Jared says, I don't do anything early. Yeah, so they can judge you and judge everything about you just based on that one decision. I honestly don't fully judge anybody based on who they vote for. I really don't. Like, I'm never going to completely do that. I just won't. Now, if you do other things, then obviously that's different. But, you know, I will also say, if you strongly support somebody, you need to give me specific reasons, right? And that goes for anything. Like, if I tell you, hey, I think LSU will win, or hey, I think Kentucky, like a few weeks ago, I said Kentucky would beat Florida. I liked Kentucky going up against a rookie quarterback. It was a bad pick. Florida blew him out. And I've never been Mark Stoops again. I made a lot of money actually doing the opposite. All right. Yeah, so Bama, this is why early I think LSU will do well, is Bama does like to run man-to-man. They do. All right. And LSU has good enough receivers to beat those guys in man-to-man. They do. BK feels relatively confident about it, according to what he said with the media. I've not been able to hear anything on the full situation just yet. But then again, I will say, and we have a few people in the medicine industry that watch this channel, this is not like an ACL where it's for sure he's going to be out. An ankle sprain is very, very, very fluid, especially if we are still, you know, over 10 days away from the game being played. Okay? This has blown up the internet. I saw, I think it was Michael who watches silently DM'd me this. So this happened. Let me put it up. This happened in a baseball game tonight. Not a baseball game, a World Series game with the best outfielder of the past, what, 5 to 10 years, Mookie Betts? Now, Mike Trout, you can argue that. Rips. Look at this. So here's a really funny thing about this. He is literally fighting to get the ball out of Mookie Betts' hand. That is a real fan. Okay? I know some of my people watching this wouldn't have the audacity to do it. And look, this guy is trying to help with it. Oh, this is the wildest thing I've seen in a sporting event. And he got it out. He got it out. Let's go. He popped that thing out. Oh, my God. Yes. I know for sure Jared Addison would rip that bitch out. I know for sure. I would not. And I know for sure Jared would do something like this on the road. I know out of everyone watching this, Jared Addison would definitely rip this thing out. Look at this. And look, he helped this guy. I don't even know if they're friends. Could you imagine the audacity of touching an actual athlete? Yeah. Yes! Oh, my God. I can't quit watching it. I can't freaking quit watching it. Oh, my God. I thought that guy to the right had a PHL band on at first. Yeah, they're going to get banned forever. High ankle sprain, 3 to 4 weeks. Low ankle sprain, 1 to 2 weeks. Yeah, I mean, he's famous. I mean, he could start a YouTube Yankees podcast tonight and have, like, John Boy-level followers. Look, he's happy about it, too. Genius. Genius. Oh, dude, that's so great. I'm cheering for the Yankees tonight. I used to be a Yankee fan growing up, not anymore. I would be the ultimate poser if the Yankees were to win. Obviously, I'm pulling for them because I used to be a Yankees fan. But my love for the Yankees died when Mariano and Jeter left. Once they left, literally, all my care for Yankee stuff just went out the window. I have no idea why it happened. It just did. It's just one of those things, right? Like, I think there's you only as a sports fan have so much capacity to be super fans of teams. And I have three teams I'm a super fan of: LSU football, Liverpool, and the Pelicans. And then I have a fourth-ish team that I'm a fan of, which is the Saints. But I wrestle with my Saints fandom at times because I love LSU football so much that I cheer for all LSU football players. I don't cheer for them over cheering for the Saints, but you know, I want LSU players to succeed in the NFL so badly that, yeah, you know, even though I hate the Falcons, am I supposed to hate Debo Jones? Am I supposed to hate Todd McClure? Those things are tough. Those things are tough. Let's go, Pellies. All right, y'all, we did not reach the goal tonight, but we will tomorrow. Okay. And we'll be back live at 6 tomorrow. Type Y for yes, type N for no if you're going to be live with us tomorrow. Oh, heck yeah. Louisiana Tech up 3-2. Let's go. Forget baseball. That's what I'm watching. It is. Pow. Ow. LSU. Bo. Don't forget, this will be live on podcast form right at the end of this on Spotify, iTunes. Give it a 5-star review. And all our super chatters tonight, let's run through them really quickly. No Venmos or Cash Apps tonight. I did get, I've not done a good job looking to see if I had any. Oh, yeah, I was going to share this tonight. I got screwed out. I got screwed over by someone in the YouTube community for, I referenced this some last week. It sucked. Like, I've never been screwed over like this, and I'm currently in a dispute. I might have to hire a lawyer, which sucks. We'll talk more about it tomorrow. But your boy got shafted. Huh? Edis!
Oh, yeah.
The Super Chatters tonight. Top one, Tony the Tiger. I appreciate Taylor. As always, Jarity drops $4.99 every night. And Michael Sacco. It is.
Power. Hour. LSU. Boom.
Come on, Bryce Underwood. You know where to go, baby. And tonight, we are doing, oh, barbecue chicken. Let's go.